we're really excited about this 12-week program at School of Supernatural Ministry. We were away in Pennsylvania for June, and we were in Mechanicsburg at up a Global Awakening, and it's a 3.5-week program we were at. We're sitting and figuring out how many hours we actually did. It was 3.5 weeks, 20 days, 183 hours that we put in up there, and we've come up with a 12-week program that'll give you just a taste of what it was that we experienced while we were up there. I know that out of those 183 hours, probably a quarter of that I was on the carpet crying, laughing. It was just an awesome time in the Lord, and we learned a lot, and we were imparted with a lot of amazing things that we hopefully in the next 12 weeks you'll be able to participate in. Mark has thought we would give a diploma at the end of this 12 weeks. So we're going to pass around a sign-up sheet, and if you're able to come every week in the next 12 weeks, you'll get a diploma. If you're not able to come, you can listen to the talk online at ctkselma.com, and then the next time you come in, just write down that, you know, you missed last week, but you listened to it online, and it'll be an honor system that you've participated in all of the weeks. Before going to GSI, a couple of days before, I had this vision, and it was this beautiful, huge playground, and it was surrounded with this beautiful garden. And to the one side of the playground, there was this huge pipe coming out of the ground, and I didn't know what it was, but it had this big dial on the side. And I saw the Lord walk over to the pipe, and we were all playing in the playground, and he turned the knob, and water gushed out like a fire hydrant. And so it was God's way of letting me know what it was I was going to experience for the next 3.5 weeks was drinking from a fire hose, a fire hydrant. So we've got a schedule that I'll leave at the back, and it'll let you know exactly what we're planning on doing each week. And we do have two outreaches. A part of what we did there was we had outreach sessions that we had to do. We had to actually go out into the public and go pray or do tattoo interpretations or dreams and visions and all those different things. So we've got the IWW race, and we're in charge of the prayer tent. So if anybody would like to participate in that, we're going to do free prayer, free dream interpretation, free tattoo interpretation, if there is any, at the race. And then at the very end, we're going to have another outreach that we'll organize and we'll invade Selma somehow. But we haven't worked out the details on that one yet. So I'll just pray, and then Mark's going to, he's going to lay the foundation for the next 12 weeks or 11 weeks tonight. So Father, we love you, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for bringing hungry hearts here to learn and to receive from you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. And Lord Holy Spirit, we just ask you to invade this place, invade our hearts, just impart to us all those wonderful giftings, and give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what Father Mark has prepared for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Luke, somebody can turn me down. Thanks, Luke. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. School of Supernatural Ministry. It's really interesting. The Lord has started me off in the message he has for us tonight. In the very place I started off in 1998. And the scripture he gave me that I founded a church in Hamilton called the Church of the Deliverer, with a CEC. And it was the life verse. It's become my life verse. It was the life verse of the church. It was a mission statement of the church. And it's from that area that the Lord has given a word that he wants us to start with this school. And as Rosemary was saying, you are going to school. So I'm not trying to be legalistic. We're not trying to be legalistic. But, you know, when you go to school, you have to, you know, they take attendance. And Bishop Chuck doesn't know this yet, but we're going to hand out diplomas, as Rosemary was saying at the end, because it becomes a signpost. It becomes a visible form of an incarnational reality that you have in Jesus, that we are called to become world changers. And so every time you see it, I mean, we received one when we finished our time at Global Awakening, and it was covered in gold dust. And it's still covered in gold dust. And so it's a time where that as you go into your office or as you go into your room or wherever you keep it, that you'll remember that you've been called by God Himself to change the world, to become a world changer. And so what we're going to do over the next 12 weeks is just unwrap what we received. As Rosemary said, we spent 183 hours being filled with a lot of great teaching, with a lot of great teachers, a lot of spirit-filled world changers that are actively out making a difference in the body of Christ. And so and during this time, as we've come together, and you know it's just that the air is pregnant with right now, with hunger and with intentionality. And those are two things that really stir the heart of God. What really stirs the heart of God is making ourselves available. And so hunger and intentionality is hunger, is what He'll move in. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, we're going to read one sentence. As Jesus came out of the wilderness, as He was, after His baptism, He was taken into the wilderness to let the devil know that that there was a whole group of people coming, just like Him, Spirit-filled men and women, who were going to be an army. And He's putting the devil on notice that there are many coming after Me to destroy your works. And so He went from there, after coming out and putting the devil on notice of who He was and what was coming after Him, He went, of course, to church. And it says in verse 17, He took the book of the prophet Isaiah, was handed to Him. He opened the book and found the place where it was written. And it said, and He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me." The Holy Spirit. Jesus here at this point in time, He's prophesying what had happened to Him in the Jordan River as He was baptized by John the Baptist. He was prophesying. He was making a statement of truth as to what happened in the Jordan River. He was prophesying. The true king, priest, and prophet was prophesying to the church what qualified Him to destroy the works of the devil. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me." It's the Holy Spirit that qualifies you and I. It's the Holy Spirit that qualifies you and I to become world changers. The Holy Spirit is the one that qualifies us in terms of speaking to us that there's no impossibilities in our life. That the Holy Spirit moving through us can cause all things to become possible. And so that's really become a kingdom mind shift, and it was a new season that Jesus brought to the church. And something I believe the church, especially here in Selma, is starting to get a hold of. Because I ran into a lady yesterday at Winn-Dixie, and she said, "I can't believe the atmospheric change." And the atmospheric change that is happening in Selma is due to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is starting to move through the words of God's people. The Holy Spirit that has qualified us. The Holy Spirit that qualified Jesus as a Spirit-filled man. Remember, fully God, fully man, but He only operated out of His humanity. And so as He operated out of His humanity, the Holy Spirit commissions us into a realm of impossibilities. And so everything becomes possible for us. And Jesus modeled this for us as a man totally dependent on God to work through him as a human being. And so we are in that same place. A humanity, a church filled with the Holy Spirit that has qualified us, and we are totally dependent on the lead of the Holy Spirit. It's not about us. It never has been about us. It's all about us making ourselves available to him, the King. And in so doing, that Holy Spirit will always take us to those situations that in the natural seem impossible. But God has already conquered. God is already victorious over everything that the enemy can throw to us. Everything that we walk through in our lives. We are qualified into the realm of impossibility because of the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And so with that grounding, with that understanding, it's always about Holy Spirit. It's always about that third person of the Trinity. Jesus, the Father, sent Him to us. Jesus gave it up and the Father sent it to the church. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. The Holy Spirit will raise people up out of wheelchairs. The Holy Spirit will set captive minds free. The Holy Spirit will do all the work of impossibility. That's what qualifies us. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're qualified. You're qualified to become a world changer. Amen? I like noise in church. This is not Bible study. This is not school where you have to sit there. You know, like, interaction is good. You say, "Father Mark, just like shut up and keep talking." Okay. It's all good. So Jesus made His announcement of what He was going to do with that Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit that He had received. Turn to Isaiah 61. Very familiar scripture, I'm sure, and it's where He read from the prophet Isaiah. And He was quoting this prophecy because now had come to the time where it was fulfilled in Him who had come to dwell among men. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." We're anointed people. Everybody say, "I'm an anointed person." I have power. I have power in these hands. Say it like you mean it. I have power in these hands because of the Holy Spirit who has qualified me. I've been called into the realm of impossible. And everything impossible is made possible by the Holy Spirit who has qualified me. And so I am an anointed person in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen. Because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. We're in the favorable year. The last days, we're in the last days. It's the favorable year of the Lord. He has called us to live in that realm of impossible. And the day of vengeance of our God, to mourn, and the day of vengeance? For this purpose the Son of Man appeared, to destroy the works of the devil. There's our vengeance. That's the vengeance of God, to destroy the works of the devil. We are destroyers in the name of Jesus. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the demons will be cast out, and leprosy will go from the land. The leprosy of unbelief. To comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Jesus says, "Here I am. I am the physician. I have come to heal you. I value you. I love you where you are. But I'm going to move you from where you are. My desire is that you walk in wholeness. My desire is you walk in healing. My desire is that you live a sozo life." Sozo, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I am a physician. Here's the point. Here's what He was saying to the church. And here's what He was saying to the church as He stood up that day in the synagogue and announced that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him. And then He gave the target of what He was going to go shoot at. And we have the same mandate. The same target. We don't have to get up in the morning and think, "What am I going to do today?" We have got the eternal target. Because when the declaration of the Word comes, the very DNA of God is in that declaration. God's Word gives us the target and gives us the authority to go do the same thing that He did. And He is still doing. And so, The point is this: if we're unwilling to recognize our needs to the physician, if we're unwilling to recognize our need, if we don't recognize our needs, this will disqualify you from living a supernatural life. You see, there's no room in a mind that says, I'm okay. There's no room for Jesus to work in a position that says, I've got it all. We saw that, and we can pick up our Bibles and read chapter after chapter of His confrontation. And it was only confrontation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they had no need for a physician. They ran on a principle that we need to stay clear from. A principle that if we go to it, it speaks one thing, that we have no need of Jesus. We have no need of a physician. And so our need and our willingness to recognize our need allows us to live a supernatural life. Because a contrite heart and mind, God will not despise. And so Jesus raised up a people who know the reality of the cross, who know, as Bishop has said many times, that our victory is in the cross of Jesus. We live from victory. We don't try and get to victory. We live already in it. And our warring is from it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that qualifies us. And Jesus raised up a people dependent upon that victory. We have to be willing to recognize our need. Because in recognizing our need, we are qualified for the impossible. It's not about us doing it. It never will be. You can lay hands upon a person in a wheelchair, and that person in a wheelchair can get up and walk. You'll hear bones crack. You'll see leg muscles form. It's God, the Holy Spirit, flowing through you and your obedience to Him that qualifies you for Him to do that kind of work. Amen? Are we going to see it? Amen? Amen. And so with all of these targets, those are our targets. When we wake up in the morning, what am I supposed to do today? There's all kinds of targets everywhere. And so in these 12 weeks, what we're going to do and what they did for us is we're going to unwrap in very simple form what we are, who we are, and what is available to us. Who we already are. You know what scares the devil? He doesn't care about people who go and sit in church. He loves the people of God to worship Jesus. He doesn't mind that at all. Go to church, sit in church, you know, go to Easter, go to Christmas service, do all those things. Just be good churchgoers. And the devil's all over. Yay, just keep going. Just go to church, stay in church. Worship Jesus, love Jesus. Here's what makes the devil nervous. When we get a hold of the resurrected Christ. And when we start moving in our inheritance, our destiny, which calls us outside of these walls. Where did Jesus spend most of His time? It was in the streets. It was with those who He prophesied and who He targeted. Now, we'll show you probably in week 11, I will be able to demonstrate in the name of Jesus, how harder it is to have someone healed in the church as opposed to walking up to somebody on the street and asking them if I can pray for you. Because if you were the devil and you had an army, legions of your angels, and you were putting up a defense, where would you send them? You'd send them to every church, wouldn't you? And so one thing that we'll learn is that healing is warfare. And the afflicted and sickness is from the devil. Let's just get that one straight right there. It's from the devil. It's got nothing to do with God creating sickness so it becomes something that he is doing to a person to get them to greater holiness. Hogwash. Sickness is from the place of torment. Sickness is from the place of torment and the one who has been assigned there. It has nothing to do with a God of love. So if that's in your heart somehow, that God causes suffering through sickness and, you know, so the person will walk in greater holiness, hogwash. As my father used to say all the time. Sickness is not from God. So Jesus prophesied his intent. And what did he say would be the result? That we would have a whole city, the city of Selma, that would be called Oaks of Righteousness. One thing, and it's very prophetic, being in the south, is all the oak trees are down here. Every time you drive up and down a street, it should just like impact you in terms of that's what I am. I've heard analogies of people, you know, they drive through the bush, you know, and they get those down here. I have to get one of those trucks, you know, with the bush things on the front. I'm sure there's a big difference when you run over a pine sapling or if you run over an oak sapling. I'm sure one bends a lot easier than the other. And so it's within the context of that, that people, what we're raising up, what this is all about is going to the targets. Because here's the prophetic word. They'll be oaks of righteousness. And so when Jesus says and prophesies and says there'll be a planting of the Lord, oaks of righteousness, guess what's attached to that? An anointing. Because it's a promise, a prophesied promise, there's an anointing that goes with it. Who wants the anointing? Amen. It's about the anointing. And Holy Spirit. It says, Jesus said, you being evil, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so, Holy Spirit, there's no limit to what He can do through us. We were made, we're containers made to carry God. That's our destiny. There's no limit to what can happen and flow through here. That's the way God designed us. He designed us to walk in the house on fire. He didn't design us to walk in, you know, like through potato fields. He designed us to carry fire. And in carrying that fire and doing those things that He prophesied and walking in and establishing heaven's rights with the targets He's already called forth. That the stable will become stable. The insecure will become secure. And they'll end up being oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. And so there's an anointing and there's a promise in that. There's an anointing and a promise for us. And the purpose of the redeemed world is to be a great army planting oaks of righteousness in people's lives. And it's the Holy Spirit that's qualified us. It's the Holy Spirit that will do the work. It's the Holy Spirit will do and move. We only have to make ourselves available. Everybody say, available. I need to make myself available. I need to make myself available. Amen. There's power when you confess things. The Spirit of God takes those words. And you're prophesying. You know you're prophesying. When you say, I am anointed to do the impossible, that you're speaking a prophetic word over your life. And Holy Spirit will bring it to pass. Do you believe? There's power. We're co-creators with God. Why did He give the amen to the church? Why did He pick 12 broken guys? Why didn't He just come, you know what? Hey, I'll just do it myself. It's a lot easier. No, but He picked 12 broken guys, uneducated, except for Paul, who ended up deserting them. And then He had to go restore them and love on them some more. And so we have God's intent, what He wants to do in Selma and what He wants to do in every city in North America and what He wants to do in every city around the world. And we have been called to that mission field. Who wants to become a world changer? Y'all are here because you want to be world changers. And before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. And God breathed in you destiny. And here's the destiny of everybody sitting in this room to be a world changer. Here's the destiny of the Holy Spirit that was given to us, the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. Here's love expressed to go destroy the works of the devil, to walk in the realm of impossible. It's been God breathed into us. He's called us to this holy house of fire. And yet, we've been called, you know, it's just like we've been anchored in, we get stuck in mud. The mud of normal. Not kingdom normal, this kind of normal. Everyday normal, the potato fields. And in so doing, you know what? We love on Jesus and we forget about the Christ. The resurrected Jesus. The same power that brought life from unlife resides in you. You got power in these things. Power that will flow through you. Power. And you know what? And it's not about you having a whole bunch of faith. Even when you don't want to do it, but you step out and make yourself available, you get in kingdom realm and kingdom things start happening. Because that kingdom becomes superimposed over this earth. And that's where we begin to see God doing things. World changers. The key. Here's a key. A key. Is it really, 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 really important? Everybody say really important. What I'm about to say is really important. What I'm about to hear is really important. Who wants to know? Okay, we got a few hands. The key to restoring our community, the key to restoring people's lives, the key to making oaks of righteousness, the keys to appropriating the anointing and the promise that was prophesied by our King, the key to doing all that in the name of Jesus is found in this one principle. How we value broken people. You see, all those that He targeted, all those that He prophetically proclaimed to the church that He was going after, they. Guess who you and I once were? We were the they. And amazingly now, God has gathered us to a place because He's calling us to another level. You see, the issue is not about being saved from sin and, you know, receiving salvation. Thank God that's part of it. But that's the tease. Jesus really wants to get us to the point where we step out and we walk in His lifestyle. Salvation, saved from sin, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I fall down, I get up quick because I know I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. But as I mentioned, in the New Testament, 110 times is the word sozo. It means salvation. It means being delivered from the devil's captivity. It means being saved from sin. It also means being healed, mind, body, and soul. It shows intent. Intent of salvation. But it is the activity. Those that have been sozoed also in their intent then go sozo other people. Because those that once were us are now the redeemed, and we've been called to take another step, which is really the kingdom purpose and why salvation has come to us, why God called our names, because we have destiny in our DNA by the very Ruah of God that says you are called forth. Now bring sozo and make oaks of righteousness, and lo, I will be with you always. And this is what this 12 weeks is about. It's about being that sozo. It's being as a redeemed people, an army that's been raised up by God. It's about being sozoed ourselves, but taking sozo to those and appropriating that promise that comes to us in Scripture. Can I get a hallelujah? If this doesn't stir your grits, man, it stirs mine. And so I don't care if there's 3 people or 3,000 that come at the end of 12 weeks. We're going to go do it. Because I didn't move to Selma, Alabama and leave 5 grandchildren and 6 grandchildren and my entire family, and I missed birthdays and everything. All those things. I didn't do all that in obedience to the Holy Spirit who has qualified me to come down here and be normal. I'm tired of normal. I want kingdom normal. And that's the sozo life that we've been called to. That's what Jesus says. Now go. I've given you the commission. I've anointed you. I've appointed you. Go make oaks. Go get the they, because you were once the they. And then when we get the they plus the they that we are, guess what we're doing? We're building a city whose maker is the living God. We're calling down and we're superimposing the kingdom of heaven onto this city, onto this nation, onto this state. We're sozoing Alabama. We're sozoing Selma. We're sozoing our lives. And we're walking in what we have been called to. And the glory of God will fall. You'll be surprised. Go and make yourself available and watch what happens. God is not a liar. For this purpose the Son of Man came, to destroy sickness, to destroy autism, to destroy every disease you can think of. It's on God's hit list. And it's in the they. Because it was on us at one point in time. And if you still have issues, you know what? Pray. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. And here's one thing I know. Jesus is faithful. But when you stop seeking, when you stop asking, and when you stop knocking, guess what you can expect? Nothing. Because you've stopped. And so we've been called. Part of another thing that we'll get into is, in one of the weeks, is about our returning, our reclaiming integrity, and what God is doing and what God wants us to do. Sozo. Thank you, Jesus. I got 11 minutes. Sozo. Okay, we can go to a very, very familiar story. Does anybody want to hear about a sozo? Somebody who was doing it? Completely? All right. Can I get an amen from anyone else? Or should I just be quiet now? Go for it? Okay. Here's one. Remember, Jesus, here's a sozo woman. Jesus is not worried about our qualifications. Because if you start laying out your qualifications, here's what you don't have. A dependency upon God. You're dependent on your qualifications. Well, I pray 8 hours a day. Well, good for you. That's nice you pray 8 hours a day. Well, you know, I got like 13 degrees. I got an MDiv, PhD. Well, that's good. You're good at school. But where are you with your dependency upon me? I don't know any disciple that had a university degree. Actually, all I know, being in the fish business, I can relate to Peter real well. Because there's really one good thing before I came to saving grace and Jesus, I was really good with F-bombs. It's a thing in the fish business. And I'm sure Peter dropped it by the fire. So it's not about our qualifications. The qualifications is in the promise. The qualifications in our availability. The qualification is in belief. The leprosy in the church is unbelief. It's still viable. There's people walk in all the time. They have leprosy of the head. They have leprosy of the heart. Forget the arms and legs. This is only the change point that makes these viable. And if you've got legs and arms that aren't responding to a heart call, then you've got leprosy of the legs. These are powerful weapons in the name of Jesus. Stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of hands, Paul told Timothy. When they were criticizing him because he was a young bishop, stir it up! And so these 12 weeks is all about stirring it up. It's all about giving more of yourselves to Him. And so the sozo woman, John chapter 4, you all know the story. She is the most unqualified woman on the face of the earth. She had a reputation like hell itself. She was mocked and criticized. Went to the well during the noonday because of all the married 5 times, living with a guy. And yet, when Jesus went to this place, Samaria, do you realize it was in prophetic fulfillment? Because the land that he was on where this well was the same territory in Genesis 33 and 34 where Dinah was raped. And so now he comes to a woman who most likely had been raped, living with 5 men, sexually abused, trying to find love in all the wrong places. You talk to any woman that's been through sexual abuse, and they'll tell you they live a life of promiscuity because of the abuse. And so here we have a woman. And Jesus goes to the same place. Check it out. Read the story. Genesis 33-34, where Dinah was raped. And he brings what Jesus always brings, restoration and redemption. He brings and turns a woman into an oak tree. He turns her into completely unqualified, completely no ability, the worst reputation that anybody can have, public. And he takes this woman and he turns her into the most crazy evangelist. This woman becomes one who transforms the city in her testimony. And so as Jesus enters into this conversation, he says in verse 23, he says, "But the hour is coming now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." And so he gives this great, to this unqualified woman. Why didn't he give it to Peter? He gives the greatest revelation on worship to an unqualified woman, who's now he's going to use to transform a city. Prophetic fulfillment of what happened to Diana. And so he calls, he says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And so here's the statement in terms of evangelism. Out of pure worship, when we worship, Luke looked at me tonight. He says, "You want me to go again? Well, you know what? The grace of God be upon me if we run 5 minutes over time." Because out of worship flows true evangelism. Out of worship flows evangelism. And we must worship always in spirit and truth. Truth? What's that mean? Be naked before God. He knows we're naked. We always try and hide it. You know, we keep the loincloth on. But you know what? He knows what's under the loincloth. And so it's just always being in that heart bent. You know, a contrite heart, God will not despise. And the importance of just being open before Him. Open for those times when Holy Spirit says, "Okay, I want you to go here. I want you to go do this." And then we turn it off because it's that's it's just my thoughts. We'll learn more about that later. But anyway, so he gives this revelation about worship to her, this unqualified woman. And then he ties it with worship in verse 35. "I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white for harvest." So he ties worship and evangelism together. So out of the overflow of worship comes evangelism. We need radical worship in the church. I'm glad we got radical worship here. But there's a time coming where we need to take that radical, and now is the time. We're in the now time. It's about taking that worship to the streets, outside of these walls. We can sit here and have beach parties every week, but you know what? We're not designed for that. We're designed for the Christ, the resurrected glory, the hope that it was in us, the hope that calls us to make and to go to they, to make them oaks of righteousness. And so he gives this revelation of worship, ties it together. And then it says in verse 39, "From that city many of the Samaritans believed in him because," here it is, "because of the word, the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I've done." And so, when you start moving in worship, you see two things here. Evangelism will follow and the prophetic will come forth. "He told me everything I had done." She wasn't ashamed of it. Because in him telling, she became naked, and guess what? The burden on her shoulders was released. And she was then able to go tell somebody about it. And what happens? What happens, it says, "So the Samaritans came to Jesus and they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed with them 2 days." Now, what's really interesting here is that Jesus said, "No, you can't go to the Gentiles. You can't go to the Samaritans. He's been called to the house of Israel." Amen? Everybody agrees, right? When did the Gentile commission open up? After the resurrection. It was supposed to. That was God's timeline. But here he is now with a Samaritan woman, a Gentile woman. And here he ends up ministering and giving her this great revelation, gives her a prophetic word, she gets healed, she goes, tells everybody, and you have a season shift. A Gentile city, the whole city gets sozoed. And Jesus ends up staying there. Why did this happen? It's because the pleasure of the Father was on the woman. The pleasure of the Father was on the city. And there was a seasonal shift that God, the Father, ended up saying, Son, go there because prophetically I'm going to heal the land from what happened to Diana. And my pleasure is on this woman and my pleasure is on this city. So I'm making a seasonal shift because they are hungry. Hunger. Hunger will cause the unqualified to make seasonal shift. So whatever season you got going in your life, what will qualify you is the Holy Spirit. But what will advance you, what will make things happen in your life according to your destiny is hunger. Hunger stirs the heart of God. You want your life on fire? You want people having prophetic pictures of your house on fire, of you on fire? When you walk somewhere, somebody says, man, you're like a lit up torch. What will do that is hunger. Hunger for God. God will never, ever, ever, ever deny hunger. And so in this account with this woman who becomes a world changer, prophesies and speaks to the whole city, and then the whole city comes out, is no longer because of what you said that we believe. In verse 42, we have heard for ourselves and know this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Sozo came. Sozo came to the city. Salvation was released before its time. Was Jesus psychosomatic? Told his disciples no, and then he did something exactly opposite? No. Hunger changed. What he saw in this woman and the Father's good pleasure resting on this woman. So what will stop us? As I mentioned earlier, what will stop us if we keep a list of qualifications out? Jesus just proved it. He's not interested in qualifications. What qualifies you to become a world changer is your very fact you're sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now. Because it says one thing. There's an atmosphere of hunger in this room. Hunger for things to be changed. Hunger for oaks of righteousness to be established. Hunger that that promise can be appropriated and released into other people. Promise that more theys will come. And as we create more theys, co-creating with Holy Spirit, when we have the theys coming, you know what? Pretty soon there'll be no more theys. Then we can move on to the next territory to get to the more theys. And we'll raise up Ezekiel 37, a great army, exceedingly great army. That's the call and the vision for us as the church. It's the call and vision for us individually and corporately. And when we come together in the Christ, love Jesus, but love the resurrected Christ. But what's made the church impotent is that we just love Jesus. We don't love the Christ. And so here we have an entire city, because of hunger and the pleasure of the Father on this woman and on the city, God breaks things out of season. You want a breakout? You want an out-of-season breakout? Be hungry. God moves in hunger. And so Sozo came. Sozo came to her and then to the city. She became a world changer. Was she qualified? No, she had the worst reputation ever. God didn't seem to care about her reputation. God cared about her hunger. And the Father's good pleasure rested on her. So hunger will bring seasonal shifts. Hunger will always keep our hearts in a position of dependency and thankfulness. Because if we're not dependent and if we're not thankful, then that means that we're standing in our own qualifications. And standing in our own qualifications will do this. It will raise within you a spirit of entitlement. I do this, well, therefore I am. And so we'll enter every situation in our life in a spirit of entitlement. Well, this should happen to me because I do this, because I am this, and because I've done this. God's not interested in that. All God wants from us is availability. Availability to Him so that He can move in us and through us. Be naked before Him so it's a greater flow. Confess your sins one to another. And so entitlement will create a thankless environment. If we feel that we're owed something, it creates within our heart thanklessness. And thanklessness feeds right into Him who said, I'm going to raise myself up and be like the Most High. The evil sin of pride. Entitlement creates thanklessness in the environment for believers. And entitlement, worst of all, leads to self-promotion. You ever seen anybody living in self-promotion? It's horrendous to watch. It's like the tire you put on the car that it's got the eternal leak that you can't fix. They're forever pumping up the tire to keep it up to pressure. When you live in entitlement, it leads to thanklessness and it leads to self-promotion. And a person will spend their life forever looking for those things to build themselves up. Entitlement leads to a spirit of poverty. Poverty at home. Poverty at home. And so, we have an example of a sozo woman who was a world changer. Unqualified, horrible reputation. And yet God used her because God is faithful. God redeemed the past and set the forward in motion. He reached into the past, reached into the future, and He brought it together. Restorative redemption for a woman, for a city, and the woman He used to change a culture, completely unqualified. Living a supernatural life, people of God, is being a world changer. And it's living a life of God promotion. And God will always promote hunger. God will always promote intent. God will always promote a contrite heart. God will always promote one who wants to walk as a fire starter. God will not despise. In your DNA, as I said earlier, in your DNA, the Word of God was spoken while you were a thought in His mind and said, I have chosen this one, her destiny, his destiny, I'm putting into them right now to go be a world changer, a city changer, to go plant oaks of righteousness. And I've called that they shall be one themselves. And so these 12 weeks, this is what it's about. Really what it's about, we already are world changers. It's getting us past the smart bombs of the enemy. The biggest issue we have, is when we step to do something for God, why is it we always get filled with fear? What we get filled with is the smart bomb that the enemy launches because it's his fear, because he knows the damage that's going to happen to his realm when we start moving in the Holy Spirit that qualified us and becoming a world changer. That's what we're feeling. So when you keep stepping past that, you may get one or two more, then he starts running for the hills because he knows what's going to happen to his domain. It's going to be destroyed. Mass destruction. Can you imagine if we had everybody doing this? What kind of damage we could do to one who has no authority. No authority. He's just power. He sits there and vibrates. He has to steal the authority from the place that has it. That's us, the church. So, our first night, this was our first day, this was the word. And so I release it. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for hearing hearts. I thank you, Lord, as it says in Revelation. It says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so, Father, for this time, of this now season, where you're calling your church, because you've already released the power and the privilege and the authority to walk as you walk, to do as you did, and to do as you're still doing. Father, I just release that grace and these over everybody's come here. Lord, I just like bless the hunger. I bless the intent. And Lord, as we continue to travel through in this journey with you over these next 11 weeks now, Lord, so make us so radical that when people see us in the Spirit, they'll see torches of fire. The fire of your love, the fire of your power, fire of one whose name is World Changer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For those of you who would like, if you got to go, you can go. They did an impartation after our first meeting. And so if you'd like me to pray, and Rosemary Bishop can help,